So, you know, we, you know, I pray for a lot of people in their travels and stuff. And, you know, before we headed out, we prayed. And on the way back, we prayed. You know, and one of the things I got up the other Saturday morning and it's a little misty on the lake and overcast. And by the time we actually had breakfast, the sun had come out and it was still a little cool. It was only in the 60s up there. But I was standing out there looking at the lake. And, you know, this lake we were on was 12 miles long and about 2 miles wide. You couldn't see the other side because of the fog and the mist. And I said, Lord, and then I heard about storms. Oh, you better hope them storms in Indiana don't get you. And I just turned around and said, Lord, I don't want to drive home in a storm. I don't like driving through Grand Rapids, Lansing, Ann Arbor, and through Toledo in storms. You know, we didn't drive through one storm. We had sunshine from the moment we pulled out to the moment we pulled in. Because we followed the storm. God moved that storm through, and I praise God that I've not heard of anybody having any bad experiences with it other than maybe having to rush quickly to your car from a ball game. But God is good. And you know, storms aren't what we think they are all the time. We look at them, that's bad. Storms are bad, 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 bad. And I know people that believe that if you have a storm in your life, that you've sinned. That's absolutely not true. Because if that's the case, then that means that the man that was walking on the water was sinning. Because he was in the storm too. The man that was sleeping in the boat peacefully. It's how you handle the storms. We all know that storms are going to come our way, whether it's something that attacks our property or something that tries to attack our families, attacks our bodies. We know we have to stand. And, you know, and just like the storm that came up, I mean, we didn't get rain really until Friday night. It was just a lot of wind. Wisconsin was getting hammered. And I can't remember how many miles it is across there to Wisconsin from Lake Michigan, but we really didn't get any rain, but we had a lot of wind. And you know, you can look at the trees when you're on a coast somewhere, all the trees that get sustained wind and how they actually form from the direction that the wind is constantly pressing against them. And but see, storms shape things. They shape rocks. They shape dunes, trees, mountainsides. They shape everything. While they do bring a little bit of destruction, they do bring life. When we went to Gatlinburg for our anniversary, we were still seeing the residue of the tornadoes that went through a couple years ago. I think it was 2 years ago at that point. Lots of trees gone. I mean, I can imagine what it looked like with all those big trees, but it took them down. And they were dead. Trees on the mountaintops that just had no leaves. And but when you stopped and you looked, you saw growth coming up, just like a forest fire. Forestry department finally figured out sometimes it's best to let the fire go through. Because then new life springs up. So sometimes these storms in our lives can cause something to happen. In Matthew chapter 14, we can read first off of the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Couple fish, couple loaves. Jesus just went out there to be alone. And next thing you know, you got people following him. They find, hey, the rabbi is out there. 5,000 men show up. This wasn't a monster truck rally. Wasn't a fishing tournament. Wasn't a football game. It was a man of God. And he prayed for them. And he healed them. And their families came and they were prayed for and they were healed. And then they got fed. And they start talking, hey, this man really is a prophet. And in John chapter 6 of the pretty much of the same situation, there's just different details and things that are not contrary. They're just different details. They start saying, hey, he's really a prophet. And Jesus perceived they were going to try to make him king. So Matthew says that he told, ordered his disciples to get in the boat and go. In other words, it was kind of forcefully, get in that boat and start rowing now. And it was just getting dark, and Jesus stayed back. He did whatever he did. Nobody, if you ain't figured it out, Jesus would disappear. Just go up in the mountains. I think he went up to be with his father. I think he went up to just talk to his daddy. But that night, so they were in Tiberias when this took place. Tiberias is, if you're looking at me and north to south, the map, right here is Tiberias. So here's the Sea of Galilee. Tiberias is down here, and they were heading towards Capernaum. Now, the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and 7 miles wide. So the lake we were on was 12 miles long and 2 miles wide, and it's 5,000 acres. And there. Yeah, I got to deal with that while I was up there too. Some of you are dealing with it right now. But, you know, the lake we were on during this storm did not get those because it was shielded by these massive dunes between Lake Michigan. I walk out the next morning and it's like, oh, there's actually small, really small boats out there on the water. But, you know, those boats couldn't go out on Lake Michigan because the waves were too big. But the Bible says that they get rowing. If you read in, I believe John says they were about 3 or 4 miles out, and they're rowing now because they're going from south to north. And it said, and the wind was contrary. So in other words, the wind was coming out of the north to the south. It's against them. And when you're trying to row against waves, well, you're not using your sail. So you got to break out board paddles, start rowing. And they're just struggling. They're not gaining anywhere. And the Bible says that at the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., they're out there struggling. The waves are beaten, and they're just rowing and rowing. And that's honestly, folks, this is probably only maybe 8 miles. They should have been able to have rowed it. So I did some looking up because I've heard, you know, some things about the Sea of Galilee and these infamous storms. And in 1992, during the winter, a storm, so I'm assuming that Jesus and them were, this was winter time for them, because weather comes from the north. Off the Golan Heights, which is the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee, a storm came down, and it blew so hard. Now mind you, it was 60 mile an hour winds. Do you remember what you guys had yesterday down here? 60 to 70 mile. So what you guys were experiencing is what they were experiencing on open water. But anyhow, but in 1992, the wind blew so hard, it kicked up 10-foot tall waves. Now, to give you an idea, I can reach 7. Go 3 more feet above my hand. If you ain't afraid of water, when you're not supposed to be, you know, you're not surfing, you're not diving through the waves, but you're trying to get from point A to point B. And now, mind you, the Sea of Galilee, and honestly, right about where they would have been about 30 meters deep. So it's right in the ballpark of 100 feet deep right where they're at. It's, I think, 147 feet at its deepest. And so these waves were coming at them. And, you know, there's only a couple of them that are actual fishermen. And, you know, they're kind of, okay, you know, but they're like, this is nuts. And they're rowing and they're rowing and they're rowing. And they got these massive waves. They don't even have to be 10 foot tall. Like I said, we had powered boats that beat the pants off of anything they could have ever had back then. And they said, it's too much. The boat we would have been in would have been a 35 foot long by 13 foot wide boat with dual engines. And they said, it's too much. You can capsize. That's what all these guys, because they didn't have the fancy life preservers with beacon lights and all this stuff. All they had was, let's hope I can swim. And so the disciples are out there rowing and they're rowing and they're rowing. And here comes Jesus. Now, mind you, again, these are not little 2 foot tall waves. These are possibly 6 to 10 foot tall waves. Jesus is just strolling along down through there. And the Bible says he was about to pass them. They've been out here for 9 hours, roughly. They should have already been to their destination. And Jesus goes walking by them. Man, they look out. And I don't know who screamed out first. There's a ghost. That's all they could see. They could see a person walking on water who shouldn't be walking on water. And Jesus said, hey, be of good cheer, guys. Take courage. It's me. Well, okay, here's the first thing. You thought it was a ghost, a spirit, right? What's Peter do? If it really is you, call me out. You need to understand something. I mean, to me, naturally, that sounds stupid. What if it's a lying spirit? I mean, come on. Yeah, it's me. I'm lying, but come on out. Peter had faith, and you know why I think he had faith? He knew his voice. And Jesus says, come on out, the water's fine. Paraphrased. Peter climbs out of the boat, and he starts walking across. The Bible says he walked on the water. He's starting to walk across the water. But something happened. Peter's a fisherman. Fishermen know fishermen don't walk on water. His head knowledge got ahead of what his faith knew. This ain't right. This ain't normal. If you have medical knowledge, you know that believing in faith against cancer is not normal. That's not how it's done. I don't have either, and I can tell you, my God heals cancer. My God raises people from the dead. He heals the blind. But it's all through faith. It's not through my manipulation. I can't do anything. I can't be good enough to receive or give. And Peter goes out there, and he starts realizing, hey, I really shouldn't be doing this. And the Bible says he began to sink. His faith didn't just leave him. It said he began to sink. Ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. Lord, here's a question for you. How long do you have to go down before you cry out? What are you going to do, wait until you're gurgling water? But the Bible says immediately Jesus reached out, so he was close enough. It was like, bam, give me your hand. We've got a picture running around here somewhere of it. Of Jesus reaching through that wave and grabbing him by the hand. And he says, why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith. Well, you know, we look at it, oh, Jesus was just so mad. It was so much compassion in that. He was trying to get Peter to understand with a light reprimand, because Peter, I'm not going to be here so long. and you're going to have to believe for this stuff without me. And so what Jesus was saying was so compassionate. It wasn't him being a jerk or, oh yeah, that's the way you got to be. Oh, you have little faith. No, he was, Peter, why did you have little faith? You've been with me long enough. It should be big. Remember what just took place a couple hours before? They fed 5,000 men plus women and children with the lunch of a little boy, basically. And in that, he forgot. And it was all because of a storm. But Jesus knew the storm was coming. When he was in the boat, the first time they're just in there, and man, Jesus, the Bible says he's up in the bow, he's laying on some stuff, and he's sleeping, taking a nap. And these guys, the waves, again, let's assume it's the same kind of storm, 6 to 10 foot waves. You're in a rowboat that might be that long. They weren't huge, or it might be that long. That's still smaller than the boat we'd have been on. Got one more. I gotta get a drink. I apologize. 'Tis the season to have crud. So in all of that, we look and say, well, storms are coming your way. Well, I stand against the storm. Well, unless you're standing on the rock getting ready to go through the storm, it's going to hit you. The night when we got back from our trip, you know, we've shared about this before here, but that very night was when the tornado came through, half mile from our house. And we could tell, you know, I know a lot of people, I'm not going to the basement, bless God, and God will protect me. God gave you a brain and wisdom, use it. We went to the basement. Here's the way I look at it. When my dog is nervous, and he's probably got the most faith in the house. But when my dog gets nervous, I need to pay attention. Because he's sometimes a little more perceptive. We all went to the basement. And I can tell you, I know when that tornado went through because it changed. We could hear it in the basement. And like, huh, okay. Yeah, this is interesting. I am actually glad I was down there because we lost power. But you know what? We went through it. Did we receive a little damage? Yes, we did. Not a big deal. My God is my God, and in him I will put my trust. Your storms aren't here to destroy you unless you have zero faith. That storm, that falling did not hurt Peter. It only built his faith. Because guess what? There were 11 cowards sitting in the boat. Not a one of them said, well, can I come? Because I'm going to point out to you, John is the other record of this, and John said nothing about Peter getting out of the boat. Peter and John kind of had a love-hate relationship to a point. They loved hating each other. No. Storms come in your life, and they're going to come. If you're not grounded on the rock of Jesus Christ, they're going to show it. Because if you've ever been to a beach, and most of us have, if you've ever been to a beach and you walk up there and you stop just at the edge of the water, and if the tide's coming in and that tide starts going up and it comes around your feet and the water feels good, but you can literally feel you're sinking. And you look down, and next thing you know, you're up to your ankles. And that's only after 3 or 4 waves. Can you imagine being out there in a storm? I'm going to stand. Not on sand, you're not. That's why the Bible tells us the man who builds his house on sand is a fool. You build your house on the rock of Jesus Christ, your spiritual house, your faith, you're not going anywhere. You can anchor right to that stone. My uncle in West Virginia had they had a lot, like 4,000 acres of hunting behind them that they leased. And the only way they could get these stands into these places with was a helicopter. So they'd build them in his front yard, and his nephew would come along with his helicopter, pick them up. And they'd go back there in the woods and try to direct him to lower it down through those trees on a rock outcrop, because it was the only way to get stuff to it. And they just built it, put it, and then they anchored it. They anchored it to the stone itself. And the storms would come, and you'd just sit there. Didn't matter. It was on the rock. Wasn't going anywhere. So many people today are trying to take little bits of everything. They don't want to commit to God. I'm not coming to church every Sunday. The summertime, that's my time. This is the day the Lord has made. So if God made it, it's His. That's the way I look at it. God, if I get to go fishing, I get to go fishing. But if I got to come to church, I got to come to church. Because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what you want, Lord. Not what I want. Not my will. His will. Your faith is what will carry you in those storms. Sometimes faith has to kick in wisdom. Don't go out. I remember years ago a preacher that we had been having come into our church down in North Carolina. I have yet to find this message, and I really need to, because I know where he's at now. But he either wrote a book or was going to do a message called Don't Die as a Fool Dies. In other words, don't do it if it ain't God's will. Stay in God's will. Ask God, God, do I go? And remember what I've told you, I think it was last week, about if God doesn't answer, don't move. You hold fast. You may be leaning. I want to, Lord. I thought I heard somebody, but it wasn't quite you. You know, we prayed. I even spoke to the storm. When I saw that thing coming up through there, I said, that storm is not coming to Ludington. It didn't. It stayed over Wisconsin, out over the lake. But the wind still affected us. And wisdom said, do not send them out. Our personal captain said he was a police officer and a rescue up on Lake Erie for quite a few years. And I don't know if he recovered them, but he lost four friends at the same time on Lake Erie. So use wisdom on things. But your storms of life, no matter what's coming at you, cancer, heart attack, loss of a spouse, loss of a friend, loss of a child, those are all storms. And all of you in here somewhere has lived through it. And it took faith in God to keep moving through it. Because so many people today, something hits them, I can never recover, I'll never be the same. No, you won't, but I hope and pray to God that your faith in Him grew stronger. Well, God took them. God had nothing to do with taking them, but maybe it was mercy if He did. You know, I'm going to say this, but Ron's a great guy. Didn't get to know him long. But from what I know, Ron didn't want to be stuck to a stupid wheelchair with cancer. And I think it was God's mercy to let him come home. Because I'm going to tell you right now, that man shook my hand one day. I was over at his house. He shook my hand. He's half paralyzed. I thought he was breaking my hand, but he said, that's not what I used to be able to do. I'm like, thank God. Because you would have crystallized my hand. But you know, that's just it. It's God's mercy. Well, God doesn't. Yes, God does. And you need to, you truly do need to understand that which does not kill you really does make you stronger. Unless you're a weenie and then you go lay there. Suck it up, buttercup. Get up. Pull your big boy, big girl britches up. Get out of the boat. And walk with Jesus. Jesus was passing them. I don't know what rate of speed he was traveling. But for normal people to walk, it's under 4 miles an hour. Usually right around 2. For a normal walk. 2 miles an hour. Jesus caught him in a storm. And I got to imagine, I honestly don't know exactly how walking on the water in a storm worked out. Whether he went up and over the waves or he walked through the waves. I don't know. I'm sure God's going to have a book for me. Here's how he did it, Art. Okay. Yeah. Oh, or yeah, did he part it? You had anything about that option? So, yeah. But he was still about to pass these guys. 11 guys rowing a boat. I bet you they were exhausted. Because I can about promise you they did not have 11 oars. They were wearing each other out in shifts. But you see, you and I, it's the same thing with them. You have your brothers and sisters. Stay in touch. Call them. We don't know what's happening all the time. Hey, you know, I just got this diagnosis. You ain't got to tell everybody, but you got to tell the people that have faith. That's all there is to it. Well, you know, I told everybody, but this person said I'm going to die. Well, do you want to die? No? Okay, then quit talking to that person right now. Oh, well, I need to talk there to my brother or sister. Ungodly people are ungodly people. If they ain't going to agree with you that you're going to live, I don't want to hear what you got to say. You know, when Justin was in his accident, we didn't want to hear anybody say he's going to die. They didn't tell us that either. Not one person came and said he's going to die, but they did tell him. We don't know why. But nearly every person I've seen come in with your type of head trauma dies. They don't recover. They die. And then just before they let us take him home, they informed us that he was brought in level 1, meaning all hands on deck. This one may not make it. We didn't want to hear that. And we called people. We called people that we knew that were of faith and we could stand. Hey, we called his brothers. And I'm going to tell you, your children need to be people of faith. If they can't pray for you to live, you might be up a creek without that paddle. Because these are the people that are supposed to love you. And if you don't have children like that, you had better have friends like that. And I mean friends that will go to hell and back with you. And that's exactly what Jesus was showing them. And he not only showed them that he was Lord over a food shortage. He showed them, I'm Lord over the weather again. I am Lord. And that's when they got back in and said, truly, you are the Son of God. And the Bible says that the sea stopped, the wind, the storm stopped. It didn't even say that Jesus said, shh, on this one. He just got in the boat and it stopped and it said, and immediately, straightway, very, very quickly, we don't know if God translated them, but pew, they hit light speed and 4 miles is gone. But so much faster than normal, they got to their destination. And by the time they got to their destination, the people in Tiberias realized, he's gone. Where'd he go? Oh, they got in their boats and they went over. That's a whole nother situation. But he went over here and started ministering. But the storm was only there to start helping Peter's faith, to help their faith. If you're not going to be Peter and get out of the boat, at least pay attention and learn. Somebody asked me one time, how do you propose to run this church? I said, I look at the people that have been before me. If they failed, I don't do it. And if they succeeded, I make sure it's something God wants us to do. Because not always is every good thing a God thing. Don't despise the storm. I think I'd kind of rather be like Master and Commander going around Cape Horn. Hold on to the front of the ship and ride that puppy out. It's a movie. But he was thrilled by it. Everybody else on that ship was scared to death. But he'd been around it before, and he knew what to expect. Problem is, sometimes our faith is we've never let it grow up. God, shelter me, protect me all the time. Well, God's protecting you. I mean, like I said, we can go around here and just start telling some of you. There's some things I don't know, but most of you, I know something about your life and the atrocities you've lived through. And I'm here to tell you, they didn't kill you, but they did make you stronger because you're still here. So don't despise the storm when you see it rising on the horizon. You say, well, storm's coming. Gotta get ready. All right, let's stand. I'm not going to make you endure any more coughs or snorts. But I will never stop telling you, God is good. Doesn't matter what that storm looks like right now. Try being more like Jesus and go to sleep in the bow. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's harder to do than you think. Being on the front of a ship going through waves, that's where you hit the first. That's the first pounding. And it hurts. But Jesus is asleep. They had some stuff up there and he was just cuddled up. And I'm like, of course, stop and think about it. His first bed was actually a manger. He's like, this is nothing. Just try sleeping on some straw and boards. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the examples that you give us in your word. Lord, of how to build our faith and not to run from storms, not to run from a challenge, but to seek you. Just as Peter sought you, Lord Jesus, he knew your voice. He accepted the challenge. He ultimately started to sink. But Jesus, you pulled him out. Father, may we all understand that we may fail, but it's you who will pick us back up. It is you who will pull us out of the drink. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for your compassion, your mercy. Lord God, I thank you that you go before us. We always pray, Lord, make our paths straight. But even straight paths, Lord God, have the enemy plans trips and traps for us. So, Lord, I thank you right now that even through those, Lord God, that we can fall upon your mercy. You will pick us back up. Dust us off. Give us the words we need. And we'll move on. Not looking back in regret, but always remembering. He never failed me. He was right there with me. Now, Lord, right now, I'm going to pray for a corporate anointing on everybody in here. First off, for healing. Lord, many of us have this spring creeping crud. We don't want it, nor do we need it. Cause our sinuses, and Father, and even those that are being bothered by the pollen and such of the allergies. Lord God, in Jesus' name, clear these symptoms, clear their heads. Lord, I thank you right now that you're touching us. But Father, that anointing of faith that can move those mountains, that will walk on those waters. Father, whether they part, whether you walk over the every wave, Lord, it does not matter. Because you still walk on the water. So Lord God, we thank you and praise you. And now, Father, I bless your people and I thank you for them, Lord God. Each and every one of them, I pray that you move in their lives. I pray, Father, that you're continuing to show them, continuing to stretch and grow them, Lord. That their faith continues to arise and it will soar. Because even the eagles have to go through the storms and then they can get above them. In Jesus' name, amen.